And what was it that he did in his obedience? He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. What did he do? He came to serve, right? And to give his life a ransom. That was God's plan for him, to die for us.
Well, thanks for joining us for this 4th of July edition of Equipping the Saints, featuring the Bible teaching of Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. You know, Greg, we at Equipping the Saints are so thankful for the freedom we have to share his word over the airways in our country. So from all of us at Equipping the Saints, we pray that you're having a blessed and safe 4th. Now, Greg, there's so much effort being put forth today by groups and committees and organizations to bring unity to the body of Christ. But it would seem from all outward appearances that their efforts don't seem to be working very well.
Dave, I believe you're right on here. It looks like although much effort is being taken to bring unity, there's not much unity in churches. And really, until the church begins to approach the subject of unity from a biblical perspective, we're going to fail. Now, ultimately, the way we establish long-lasting unity among churches and between fellow believers, it's really by following the simple outline given to us by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit in Philippians chapter 2. Today, we're going to examine what God has to say on this subject, and we're going to get a glimpse on how Jesus empowers us to live a life in the context of true unity. Our passage is Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And if I have this attitude, it's going to manifest in a certain way, obeying the Lord Jesus in regards to what he's called me to do in relationship to you. Look at our passage. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Now, in verse 7, just a little note, you'll see the "and" is in italics, and I think that's a good translation. It's really not in the original text. And the reason why I think you should not see that "and" there from my perspective is because the statement in verse 7, I really believe, works with verse 6 and 7, not 8. Okay? The "and" makes you put it in verse 8 in a list of things. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But emptied himself, verse 7, taking the form of a bondservant, having become in the likeness of men. That's a good translation. Now, did you notice there's a contrast here, verse 7? But, and you could translate this type of contrast in Greek, but rather, instead of holding on to one's rights as God and to express those rights, in the incarnation, he did something instead. Instead of holding on his rights, he let him go. So now false humility might just let it go and just let it be like that. That's false humility. True humility lets go your rights and then serves in obedience to the Lord. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. Again, the comparison is existing in the form of God, but rather and became in the form of a bondservant. Same word. And then having become made in the likeness of men. The marvel of the incarnation during this time, the incredible humility of what Jesus did, willingly and voluntarily, as we're going to see, emptied himself. The term emptied is translated made of no reputation. It comes from the word kanao. It literally means to empty the content of something, to pour it out. Okay, that's what it literally means. Now, there are some liberal, non-believing Bible scholars that would say Christ emptied himself of his deity. However, first of all, that would be impossible because God cannot cease to be God. And as we see later on, even our passage proves that their blasphemous statements are wrong. And all those passages I read in John, he still claimed to be God. He didn't empty himself of deity, folks. But he emptied himself of something. He had to pour it out, in a sense. So what did he empty himself of? What does that mean? So he did not regard, in contrast, but emptied. And this is the mindset we're to have. Not regard that equality be grasped, but empty. Okay? What does this mean? He emptied himself. How so? Look at this passage. Taking the form of a bondservant. How did Jesus empty himself? He took on the form, or morphe, of a bondservant. He continually existed in the form of God, and then he took on human flesh. He took on the form of a bondservant. We're going to see the portions about him taking on human flesh, but this speaks of who he was, in essence, a bondservant. He had the prerogatives of God. He was in the form of God, and he continually existed that way. But he emptied himself and took on the form of a bondservant. What you would see about Jesus when you looked at him was he was a servant. And that's his true nature underneath, although he's also God, right? He used to exist fully as God, fully showed it, and then he took on human flesh. And the form that he took on was a bondservant, because that's in his nature, his gracious, loving nature, as we're going to see, and we're to think like Christ. Here we have the term doulos, spoke of a slave who would completely surrender himself to the authority and will of another. If you've talked to a slave, or if you've been a slave and you have to sin, I'll tell you that right now, the master is the most important thing, isn't it? Whoever you choose to submit to, right? A good master is wonderful. A bad master is not good. If you're in sin, you've got a bad master. You're slave to sin, right? But when we trusted in Christ, we became slaves of righteousness to a good master. But here it's speaking of God the Son, who is God, who took on the form of a bondservant to submit himself to do the Father's will. And that's what we need to do. And to do his Father's will was actually in relationship to us. So the mindset we're to have is to not see ourselves on an equal footing, to not regard that as something to be grasped, and then to take on the manner of a true servant. Paul said earlier he was a bondservant of Jesus Christ, him and Timothy. We are bondservants if we truly function within who we really are in Christ. Christ Jesus took on human flesh, veiled his glory, and took on the form of a bondservant. Listen to what the scriptures say about that. Matthew chapter 20. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 20. You see, if we each took on the form of a bondservant, we wouldn't have much arguing, would we? We wouldn't have much conflict. We would have a lot of unity, wouldn't we? If we saw each other as more important than ourselves. You'll see that. Matthew 20, 25. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be the servant. Hey, don't try to rule over people. I'll tell you that right now. Shouldn't be that way among believers. If that's your desire to rule over people, you got a problem. Whether it's your spouse or whether it's the church, whatever it is, that's your desire. That's a problem. He says here, it's not so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be a slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom. He came to serve. And the ultimate serving was to give his life a ransom. Mark chapter 10:45, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. We see the mindset of the Son of Man coming. And this is to be our mindset. I've come to do your will. Not that we've come from anywhere like Christ, but in the mindset, right? I want to do your will. This is what it needs to be about. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. Therefore, when he comes into the world, that's speaking of Christ coming into the world, the incarnation, he says, sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. This is a marvelous thought. Conversation between the Father and Son. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast taken no pleasure. Then, this is God the Son speaking, I said, behold, I have come. In the roll of the book it is written of me, to what? To do thy will, O God. That's what the mindset of a servant is, by the way. That's the mindset we should have towards one another. To do God's will, as revealed in God's word. And that contradicts ourselves, doesn't it? And after saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not desired, nor hast thou taken pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. That's the old and new covenant. By this we will, that's Christ coming and dying for us, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Jesus Christ did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, although he existed as God. But rather, he took on the form of a bondservant. He emptied himself. We're to empty ourselves, folks. We got a lot of self going on most of the time. If you look at all your troubles, it's all about how it relates to me, right? A lot of self going. They did this to me. They did this to me. I said that to me. This happened to me. It's all me, right? We need to empty ourselves. Empty the jar of yourself, folks. Stop thinking about yourself. What people have done to you, what happened in your life, stop thinking about yourself. Give those things over to the Lord and start thinking about how he wants you to serve him in relationship to those he has placed in your life. Taking on the form of a bondservant, he emptied himself. How about you and I? How full is your cup of yourself? I think sometimes it's pretty full. We're pretty full of ourselves. We need to confess, Lord God, these thoughts are not in line with your thinking. They're not in line with your word. I'm sorry. Please help me serve your people. Help me serve you for all the days of my life. Help me serve you. Help me serve you in my marriage. Help me serve you at work. Help me serve you as I go in the world. Help me serve you at church. Help me serve you around other brothers and sisters. He gave his life a ransom to serve us. Through serving, he brought about the forgiveness of our sins. And we're going to see this service brought about a humility through obedience to the point of death. Notice here that in taking on a bondservant, we see the reference to his humanity. It says in verse 7, but emptied himself. That's a contrast, right? Didn't regard, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. That's how he emptied him. And then the end, I told you the end shouldn't be there. It's in italics, so just overlook that. And then, taking the form of a bondservant, and there's a participle. Having been made in the likeness of men. He became like each and every one of us, yet without sin. That's why he uses the term likeness there. He became like all of us. It's a men plural. Now we're going to see man in the next verse, but it's men plural there. It's mankind being made in the likeness of men. The term homoioma speaks of a common experience. He was born of a woman just like us. He grew up just like us. He experienced the true reality of humanity to the max, apart from personal sin, because he was sinless and spotless, like us. He became a bondservant, took on the form of a bondservant, having become the likeness of men. Tremendous reality. We see, as was read in chapter 2, verse 14 in Hebrews, since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same. We know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word dwelt among us. It took on human flesh, right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:14. In Hebrews, tremendous reality, Hebrews 2, we see that he took on human flesh. He partook of the same. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren, Hebrews 2:17, in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He had to become like us to serve us by going to the cross. Tremendous, wonderful reality. He emptied himself, how so? By taking the form of a bondservant, having become, that's how you could say it, in the likeness of men. Tremendous reality. He never stopped being God, but outwardly he became a servant. And I mentioned this earlier in Matthew 17. There were times where God the Father ordained that Christ showed his glory. That he showed his glory. Matthew 17, verse 1, and 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, and his brother, and brought them to a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became as white as light. And in those situations where the Father is revealing who Christ really is, you see the Father is well pleased with him. We have a tremendous reality that, for you know the grace of God, that Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, being God, eternally worshipped, yet he became poor for our sake. He became a servant. A servile term. He served unto the point, as we will see, to death. Through his poverty, you might become rich. So what's our application here specifically? We're to think like him, and we're to become servants of one another. If we're to have this mind which is in Christ Jesus, obviously we're not going to be incarnated, right? That doesn't apply. but it's the mindset that Christ had in the incarnation that we are to have. We need to empty ourselves of ourselves and become servants. And who are we servants ultimately of? We're servants of the Lord. And then that will mean we will serve who He calls us to serve, which is one another. Remember, in the beginning of this passage, it's the only two times these verses are used here, Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Christ Jesus. They knew who they were serving. The Thessalonians, when they got saved, they knew they got saved to serve. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves report of what kind of reception we had with you, how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God. We either serve sin and self, and it's horrible. It exerts tight control over us. If you're in sin right now, it is exerting tight control over you, and you cannot get free. But if you're willing to humble yourself and admit it exactly what God says, He'll free you. And we're freed to serve a good God. We see in the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 3, so you will distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve Him. Folks, if you're a true believer, God has called you to serve Him, and to serve Him, you have to empty yourself. Guess what? You can't serve the Lord and others if self is really full. You got to empty yourself. You got to have this mindset that is in Christ Jesus. Forget all the junk about yourself and let God take care of that. Bring it before the Lord. Bring it before the Lord. He loves to hear your petitions. Empty yourself and see others as more important than yourselves. Voluntarily choose that the stuff in your life is not as important as the stuff going on in their lives. Voluntarily choose the mindset of Christ. And only by trusting in Christ can you have His mind, by the way. Only in looking and seeing His word and allowing it to permeate our hearts can we have His mind. You see, we're going to be selfish, and we need to be reminded of this passage. It needs to go in our heads and remember it. So first of all, we saw the mind of Christ in regard to our position with one another, okay? Now, as we finish, we're going to see the mind of Christ in regard to our practice with one another. Verse 8. And being found in an appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Pretty straightforward verse. So, and. Now, that and is a good and there, okay? Because it actually puts verse 7 on its own and then verse 8 here. And, okay? And being found in appearance as a man. Singular, not plural, not the common experience spoken of in the last verse. It's a different thing. He humbled Himself. Being found. When you came across Jesus in the incarnation, you found something. You saw something. And it was an appearance. Schema. It speaks of the outward appearance. When you saw Jesus, there was nothing special about Him. He was simply a human being, although He was also God. And being found in the appearance as a man. We see in Isaiah 53, He grew up before Him like a tender shoot, like a root out of parched ground. He had no stately form or majesty that we should look upon Him, nor an appearance that we should be attracted to Him. It's a normal man. What humility. Although fully God, a normal man, He humbled Himself now. So this is the practice of a servant. The position of a servant is obviously seeing yourself as not as important, right? And others as more important, right? This is the practice now. What's the practice of a servant? It's obedience. In the context of humility, He humbled Himself by, here's how it happens, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The term obedient here is used only a couple times. It speaks of giving ear, obviously to do something. It speaks of listening in order to obey, and it carries the inherent reality of submission. Just yielding your will. Have you ever seen a dog that is not submissive? And then when they submit, they just go, just do that. The Lord, give up. Submit and do His will. He says He humbled Himself by becoming obedient. Now we know He learned obedience, Hebrews chapter 5, through the things He suffered. In His humanity, He walked in dependence on the Father and He obeyed the Father. He humbled Himself by being obedient. You think you're humble? If you're not obeying God, you're not humble at all. You're really prideful. Humility is in the context of submission to God and obedience. And what was it that He did in His obedience? He humbled Himself, becoming obedient up to the point of death, even death on a cross. What did He do? He came to serve, right? And to give His life a ransom. That was God's plan for Him, to die for us. And He did it, willingly and voluntarily. And He did it for us. He did it because he loved us. He saw us as more important than himself. The prime example that we should have the mind of Christ in. We should be thinking that way. He did that for us. He went all the way to death. He obeyed the Father's will to the ultimate end, which was death on a cross. He died for our sins on the cross, and he rose from the dead. He considered us as more important than himself. He did not hold to his rights as God to express it and to express his own will. Remember the night he was betrayed? Not my will, but thy will be done. True humility, we see here, comes in the context of a obedience to what the Lord has called you to do. And there's a lot of what God has said. And we're to love one another. We saw that in the 10th chapter. We're to consider others as more important than ourselves. We don't do that. We're prideful. We're to look out for the interests of others, not merely our own. We don't do that. We're prideful. We're to obey the Lord in relationship to every area of our lives. We're to have the mind that was in Christ Jesus. The mindset in Christ Jesus. Again, the application is obvious, right? The mindset that reveals our position is how we look at each other, right? We're going to see each other as more important than ourselves. The practice is we become obedient servants. Lord God, whatever you want me to do. Someone treats you wrong, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to respond? Lord God, something happens in my life, how do you want me to respond? Choices to make in the future, Lord, how do you want me to respond? Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. He emptied himself and he humbled himself. And we are called to have the same mindset. Let me ask you this. Do you have this attitude, which was also in Christ Jesus? As believers, we are to have it. And I know we fail, but we need to confess quickly. We need to see one another as more important than ourselves. When we have the mindset of Christ in obeying the Father concerning everything we do, we're going to see unity. We're going to have, as we're going to see, joy. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind. It's always no fun to sin. I'll tell you right now, if you're in sin, you're not happy. If you're obeying the Lord, there's joy, no matter what's happening.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, it would seem like the plan for unity laid out in the Scriptures requires that everyone is willing to be on the same page and for everyone to have the mind of Christ. Now, isn't that just about an impossibility?
Well, Dave, if it were impossible, then God wouldn't be commanding us to do it, would he?
Sure, right.
The reality is that although unity is uncommon, it is not impossible to attain. Certainly, we are not going to attain it perfectly, but God's desire for us is to have unity. And although the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Philippian church as a whole in this book, the commands are individualized for every believer. Paul is saying that each one of us is responsible. We are commanded to have the mind of Christ. We are called individually and corporately to be obedient regardless of what others do. And it's when the life of Christ is manifest in his people that things change. First and foremost, in us, things change. And then God uses that manifestation of the life of his Son to affect others around us. It's going to affect people who come in contact with you at work, at home, in your ministry, with neighbors. When we're committed to renew our minds with the truth of God, then we're going to think like Christ, and our lives will be changed, and others around us will be affected. So then, don't focus on changing other people. Focus on allowing God to change you through his word dwelling richly in your heart.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.